will start to show some rust. All the things I placed my hopes in crumble into dust. I will keep on fighting and do what I simply must. In you I put my trust. In you I put my trust.
Welcome, folks. Good day. By his name tonight and hear his word and cast out devils and do what the Lord would have us to do. So here we are again. What is today's date already? The 9th of February. All right. So, yeah, we're already in February and it's moving right along here. So let's open up with a little bit of news of what's going on out there, some of it anyway, And then we'll get into prayer and the word, okay? All right, glad to have you here. Poll released Wednesday said black and Hispanic voters fleeing the Democratic Party in growing numbers. Yeah, they don't like what's going on either. So, Christian UPS driver takes on the UPS Corporation over extreme LGBTQ anti-Christian work environment. That's right. He's filed multiple grievances with UPS, the pro-LGBT Teamsters Union, and federal agencies, the EEOC and the NTRB, okay? I don't know what those are, but he's bold and he's standing up to these people that are just trying to force this garbage down his throat and force it on the company and all the workers there. More Christians need to be bold and stand up. Amen. Total humiliation. Nikki Haley loses to none of these candidates in Nevada primary by a landslide, and a bad night for Nikki Haley, losing almost 30 points. And President Trump wasn't even on the primary ballot there. So it wasn't because of President Trump that she's just a rhino. You know, she's not somebody that people respect for the most part. I guess the Democrats do. But patriotic country music star Toby Keith passes away at 62, just 62 years old. He said faith led him through the dark hallways of a cancer battle before his death. So, yeah, he believed. And as far as I know, he was a true Christian. I don't know, because I don't know his spirit, whether it's born again or not. Only God knows that. But he said he had faith. He said he believed. Major evangelical publication Crosswalk, some of you have seen that before, they twist the scripture and urges Christians to attend same-sex baby showers. Okay. Well, I don't see how same-sex can have babies anyway, unless they hire a surrogate mom. Minnesota providers have thrown out over 2 million COVID-19 vaccine doses, according to info from the Minnesota Department of Health. In total, these vax were worth roughly $185 million, and they just threw them away. I can think of a lot of other things that state could have used $185 million on. Yeah. Pounding rain forces millions of gallons of raw sewage to spill from Los Angeles County sewers and flow into coastal waters off of San Pedro and Long Beach. Well, that's kind of unhealthy, isn't it? My, my. What a mess that must be. They're getting these horrible rains there. You wonder why all this is happening? Yes, you think there might be a reason besides it just happens? Yeah, well, when you got the ungodly agenda being promoted and forced upon the people of that state by Newsom, what do you think? You know, I tell you, people think they're just going to get away with all their iniquity that are not saved people. You know, they're under the law. The world is under the law. But people of God who receive the Lord, they're under grace. And so it's a whole different situation for these people who are under the law. I understand they certainly will reap what they have sowed. And unless they come to Jesus, there's no hope for them. There just isn't. Jesus bore the sins of the whole world, but if you don't take advantage of what Jesus did, then what good did it do for him to bear their sins if they won't believe and they won't receive? It's going to be a sad day on Judgment Day when all these people face Jesus. What did you do about Jesus? Oh, I cursed him. I rejected him. You know, that's what they're going to have to say. Used his name in vain. All these different things that these folks do that reject him. Anyway, Texas Governor Abbott brags that he built more border walls than President Trump and has arrested more than 39,000 illegal immigrants for crimes committed on the U.S. soil, and has seized 458 million lethal doses of fentanyl since 2021. Well, fentanyl, boy, you don't want to play around with that. I think that's quite dangerous, and it's messing people up terribly. Missouri GOP candidate for the Secretary of State, Valentina Gomez, uses a flamethrower device to burn LGBTQ books and then complains when it is censored on X and Instagram. That's right, she's running for the state of Missouri Secretary of State. She's also filmed holding a AR-15 type weapon, and she's just really saying, man, that's what I'm going to do to all them old LGBTQ books when I become Secretary of State of Missouri. And she just blows them all up with this flamethrower she's holding. I watched that. Kind of interesting to watch her do that. It's some kind of device I've never seen that she was burning them up with. Anyway, that's all the news I've got to share today. So we're going to move on and get into some prayer here today. I want to pray for a young man who's having some problems with his skin on his head, like peeling off, and because of the medication they've given him for brain tumor. And so we want to pray that he'll be all right. He's in the hospital right now. So, Father, I pray for this young man in Jesus' name. We come to you and give you the praise and worship tonight as we bring these requests before you and pray for his healing. Pray for his recovery in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the devil that's trying to kill him, the spirit of death, and the spirit on these medications that he's taking for the situation. And Lord, we just rebuke that death, and we speak life to him and healing to his skin and his brain, his head, everything that pertains to him, Lord. We pray he'll live and not die in the name of Jesus for your glory, Lord. And we rebuke the devourer off of him. Thank you for his salvation, that he knows you, Lord, and is drawing nearer and nearer to you. And Lord, only you can remedy this situation, Lord. There's so many situations and circumstances that only you can, that you can fix, Father. So, Lord, we just come to you in the name of Jesus for these impossible-looking situations and circumstances and sicknesses and diseases that people are struggling with today, Father. And we rebuke the devil off of them. We pray for recovery for them in Jesus' name. Healing for them in Jesus' name. Restoration for them in Jesus' name. We pray for marriages that are in trouble today, that are having difficult times. Lord, we pray for restoration of them. And Lord, that people would be convicted of their stubborn ways and their rebellion in these marriages, Father. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that people can walk in together in unity. And Father, that, Lord, that, Lord, you'll remind them that they're joint heirs with Christ, and both are born again in these situations, and a lot of them, not all, but in a number of them, both are Christians, and yet they're having all these difficulties, Father. And the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed, Father? So, Lord, we pray for agreement. Yes, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We pray for, Lord, the healing, Lord, of cancer and several people that are struggling with cancer right now. We rebuke the cancer. Pray for healing and restoration of their bodies in the name of Jesus as well, Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we pray for peace, Lord, for those who are struggling right now and can't seem to walk in the peace of God. There's so many things are going on in their lives right now. We rebuke the devil and thank you, Lord, for peace in their life, Father, that they can just tap into the peace that passes understanding, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the survivors of the Naples plane crash, Lord. Don't know anything about that, but, Lord, I pray for them. And, Lord, there's so many different circumstances and situations in this world that need prayer. Father, we pray for our persecuted brethren in China, Father, and in North Korea, and these different countries that persecute Christians so horribly in Africa. And Lord, we pray for their divine protection, Lord, and deliverance, Lord, from these attacks of the wicked one to try to take them out before their time. And Lord, pray that you grant them great grace as they face this persecution. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we commit this time to you. We ask you to bless this time that we have together here tonight in the Word and this live broadcast, Lord, that, Lord, you bless every listener and encourage them and strengthen them, and teach them anything they need to know tonight, Lord, through your Word. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us, Lord. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we give you the glory for what's taking place here right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for spiritual breakthrough. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for the great grace, Father. Thank you for exposing the invisible things that people carry around to them tonight as we get into that type of word here in a little bit, Father, that they don't even know what they're carrying in a lot of cases, Father, because it's invisible to their eyes. To a lot of people's eyes. But you know and you see and you can reveal and you can deliver, Father. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory. Everybody say amen. Amen. Welcome, everyone, tonight. Glad to have you here. We're going to talk about grace and beyond the visible. That's the title. Grace and beyond the visible. You know, there's a lot of people in this nation, even beyond this nation, that follow pagan religions today. We see the Muslims, the Hindus, the Mormons, the Satanists, you know, all of them. They're following these pagan religions, the Christian scientists. They call themselves Christians. They're not, you know. And they call themselves scientists, but they're not. But anyway, They're a pagan religion, a false religion, and there's so many more we can mention here. But, you know, all of them think that if they just fast or pray or shave their head or take an oath of this or that or poverty or they do this or they do that or they have 10 children or they, you know, their deity, their God, their God will be pleased with them, or their God will, and is going to hear them and move in their life. You know, like all those prophets of Baal, when they were all cutting themselves and trying to get Baal to respond, and, you know, Elijah just called down fire from heaven. It came down from heaven and burned up the sacrifice, and these prophets of Baal must have been sleeping, right? They said, yeah. Well, their pagan God didn't respond. Because who is a pagan God up against the real, true God? You know, I think a lot of Christians have this same mentality, though, that we see here. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, really, think about this. If I just, you know, if I'm just a better Christian, if I just read more, if I just pray more, if I just do more for God, then God will hear me and move in my life. Well, that's not the way you live the Christian life, I'll tell you that for sure. But, you know, but that's what a lot of people think, that if they just do more, they're going to get more. You know, when we live like this, we're putting our faith in what we can do and what we've done. We're not putting it in God's grace. You know, faith is not something we do to gain God's response. All right? Let's go over to 2 Peter 1:3 as we start out our scripture reading today. 2 Peter 1:3, and I'm going to use this verse a couple times tonight. But anyway, let's start now. According as his divine power... His divine power, right, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. This is God's grace. Notice what it says. He's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay? So if it's already done and given, that means God's already responded. Our faith is not to get God to respond, doing all these trying to get his attention types of things. You know, it's simply to receive from the graces that have already been released unto us. Okay? Faith is really responding to God's grace. See? And so let's go over to John 1:17 too, okay? Because we're going to take off into this and hopefully go quite a bit deeper. But for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. If something coming, it's not here yet, but if it came, what does that mean? That means it's already here, right? That's right. Grace came. Grace is here. Grace is present. Grace is now. But we have a hard time liking, a lot of people do. Let's face it, they may not ever admit it. It's part of the invisible realm that is going on. But, you know, a lot of people have a hard time liking themselves and forgiving themselves and receiving that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They have a hard time believing that. So how can we not work hard and perform to make God forgive us, like us and bless us and bless our lives? We just got to do more so God will be pleased with us. No. After all, didn't you have to work hard to please your earthly parents? I mean, a lot of people did have to work hard to please their parents, and it seemed like they were never pleased. Okay, it seemed like you could never please your parents. They always found something wrong that you were doing wrong. And, you know, God's not even looking at us that way. Okay? But a lot of people think he is. Okay? And so surely God is like my parents, right? No, wrong. God is not like your parents. You know, God is not a man. Okay? He's God. And I want to give you several important truths about God's grace. See, a lot of people live in a performance-based Christian life, and it's not working for them. And I'm telling you, you got to get it over to grace and live in that grace. You know, God's grace is unconditional. He denies it to nobody, okay? Every sinner, his sins have been paid for. All they have to do is to want his forgiveness, to want to receive that grace and that forgiveness and truth. You know, it's for anyone who wants it. Anyone. Right? All they have to do is receive it. Right? You know, I could just stand downtown or on Main Street in any city in America all day long with a bucket of, say I had a bucket of $100 bills and put a sign on it, come and receive. And people might, you know, just walk by all day and only one or two actually stop and reach down in the bucket to see what was in there and pull out some $100 bills. Some others might stop and talk about, oh, is there $100 bills in there, but not reach in and receive it and not even look in there. And some might keep coming back and getting more after they started getting a few, right? Some would just get hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and some people wouldn't even look at you. They just keep on walking. And some people would just look at it in disbelief. See? And you know, grace is a lot like that because it's almost too good to believe and too good to be true. And so a lot of people, they just look at it, but they never receive much of it. You know, other people learn it's there and it's freely given, and they just keep on coming back for more and more and more and more. That's me. You know, I just want more and more and more of it because it's been given. It's there. It's ours. He's blessed us with it. All that came through grace and truth is ours. Every good and perfect gift that comes down from above is part of grace. It didn't come under the law. It came through grace, all this that we have now. Every good and perfect gift, right? Under the law, everybody received a just reward. They reap what they sowed. Now that Jesus bore our punishment on the cross, we're not reaping what we deserve, okay? We're not reaping all that we sow because of his grace and mercy. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's a manifold grace. Yeah, many-faceted grace of God. Hallelujah. So what is the gift? That bucket of grace, man. You know, the manifold graces of God. All you need, whenever you need it, it's there and it's now. Okay? It's there and it's now. Number two, God's grace is consistent. We can't earn it. We can't lose it just because of what we do either. In other words, if you fail 100 times a day, but you still believe in God's grace and the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all sin is part of that grace towards you, you're going to make it. You're going to come through. Why? Because faith in him and his grace will bring you through. Right? If a brother said, I'll get you 70 times, how many times should we forgive him in a day? 70 times 7. Well, how many times do you think God forgives you over and over? I mean, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I mean, we got to understand this because we're going to go into some invisible stuff here a little bit here that is bringing people into bondage and keeping them there, and there's grace for that, okay? But not if you don't understand grace. So I want to give a little on it before we get into this, you know? See, it's not about your performance and your works like legalism and religion will tell you it is. Yeah, religious people, man, they're always working and trying to earn their way and earn God's acceptance, and even though they've already got it if they just believe that. But see, they can't believe that because they got religious spirits. They've got training in religion, training in performance, and it doesn't work. That's right. How much sin must you do to lose the grace of God? You can't lose it. Grace has been given. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. Now, you could stop walking and living in and from grace, you know, from his grace. But you can't lose it as long as you believe in it and you walk in it. It's not going to just disappear. You lose it on the sidewalk someday as you're walking down the block. Come on. I sinned so bad, I just lost it. No, you don't lose it. Okay? God's blood is part of that grace, and that cleanses you from all sin and unrighteousness. Now, if you reject the grace of God, that's a different story. You're rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit. People could do that. But God's grace is constant. It never changes, okay? God's grace. What did Jesus say in Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Grace and truth came through who? Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. You know, people change. Times change. Look at the times we're living in now. Whoever thought 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they'd be like they are now. Yeah, so times change. Your feelings about you may change. Your feelings about others may change. Even moment by moment they might change. But you know what? Grace never changes. Because it came by Jesus, and Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. Okay? I'm the Lord thy God. I change not, he said. And the word says, Jesus Christ, you know, he's the same forever. So grace is forever for the believer because Jesus is forever for the believer. And so you mean I have as much grace when I feel good as I do when I'm grumpy and I feel bad and I've sinned and I messed up? Hello, you're getting it. You're getting it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So is there any way that I can stop grace from working in my life? Yeah, there is a way, of course, by not believing in grace anymore. I mean, when you don't believe grace, then what do you believe in? Works, right? It's only grace and works in this whole world, right? You could either live from the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Which one are you going to live from? I'm going to live from the tree of life. That's where grace comes from. You know, in the tree of life through Jesus. Jesus is the tree of life, right? So I'm a good person. I do good. I'm a bad person. God's mad at me. You know, I mean, works. That's what works is about. Yeah. There's just work, performance, legalism. You know, everybody, you know, must not like me. I'm so horrible. You know, and people see themselves that way. They see themselves in a way that they should not see themselves because it's not according to the scripture. You know, we need to call ourselves what Jesus calls us instead of calling us what our mind tells us. Because how many know the mind's polluted by demons? And demons can tell you to say a lot of things about yourself that are negative, and they can really get you down that way, torment you that way, because the demon's always planting something in your mind that you have to battle and cast down those vain imaginations, right? Those vain images that Satan plants in your mind. Romans 11:6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Okay? I'm reading chapter 10:6. Let me read 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. See? If it's grace, then it's not by works. You get that? You can't work to earn your way to God, okay? Yeah, a lot of Christians just trying to do that today. And a lot of religious people and Christians have gotten mad at me for preaching grace. And that we're not under the bondage of the law. The law is administration of death. It says in 2 Corinthians. Why do you want to live under administration of death? Why not live under life? You've been given life. See? And if by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. I mean, if that doesn't explain it, I don't know what does. Think about that. You want to go back under works like a lot of the Hebrew roots group do. They just try to keep every jot and tittle of the law. It says the law is not going to pass away because by it we have knowledge of sin. It doesn't say that we got to keep the law because no man could keep the law. And anyway, see, it's either one or the other. We live by works or we live by grace, okay? And the law is a yoke of bondage, okay? And you can't, you know, can't get out of that bondage on your own. You might try all day, but you can't. If you're going to live under law, you're living under a yoke of bondage, it says in Galatians. So how do we live in grace? How do we live in grace? Well, one way, the way of Abraham. Abraham was before the law. You know, faith. The just shall live by faith. For it's by faith that we access and we live in grace. It's that simple. It's not complicated, okay? You know? As your faith is, be it unto you. So let's believe and walk in that grace. Let's receive and walk in that grace. Romans 5:2. It said, by whom also we have access by faith into what? This grace, what do we stand in? We don't stand in our works here. It says here, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You don't stand in law. You don't stand in trying to work harder for God. You stand in grace wherein we stand and rejoice. We rejoice in grace, too, in the hope of the glory of God. Okay? Hallelujah. I mean, you get that? I mean, you're giving your scriptures here. You could argue with the Word of God. You know, if you don't want to believe it, that's fine. Argue with God. Argue with His Word. But to not live and stand in grace as a Christian is to be a miserable, grumpy, crouchy Christian, really, a legalistic Christian. Plenty of those are around, okay? I've seen plenty in my lifetime. And they've criticized, you know, the grace, and they've criticized the deliverance ministry, and on and on and on, you know. They can be religious, you know. If you're not going to live in grace and stand in grace, you're going to be religious, and you're going to be in religious bondages, okay, and demons will be there, okay? And we already have enough demons as it is, so why do you want to pick up more by being a religious devil, picking up those religious devils, I mean? Our wrong thinking has produced a wrong believing, and Christians because of it, live under legalism and ghastly rules and do's and don'ts and trying to earn their way to God and earn his approval when you've already got his approval. The Bible says you're accepted in the beloved. What more approval do we need than that, right? Hallelujah. We're accepted in the beloved. He doesn't reject us. We're not rejected in the beloved. We're accepted in the beloved. Right? We've been made joint heirs with Christ. Whatever Jesus has, a joint heir has, right? Whatever Jesus has, we have because of grace. He didn't say that about those under the old covenant. He said that about those under grace, under the new covenant. They're joint heirs with Christ, okay? See, our wrong thinking produces wrong believing, see? And people are in bondage because of wrong believing today. Even though they're born again, they're in bondage because they got wrong believing. Christians are confused. They really want to know, what does God want them to do? So you know, they fast, they pray, they perform, they try real hard, they try to keep the Ten Commandments. They think that, man, am I still so frustrated? Why am I still so frustrated? And I still don't know what God wants me to do. See? Well, because you're trying to get it all by your work, trying to get yourself there by your own accord. It ain't going to work that way, okay? That's not what the Bible says, okay? They're putting faith in what they've done and what they're doing. And God, all God wants really is us to put our faith in him and his grace and what he's given us through his grace. You know, faith is a proper response to God's gift of graces, all his graces, that bucket of graces, and faith is the access code to enter the big, wide, wonderful world of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. That's your access code, not your work, not trying to earn, you know, that acceptance and that entrance, you know. So I'm going to encourage you tonight, get your thinking correct, to look with faith into God's grace and be a partaker of it, to reach deep into the bucket of God's grace and receive what you need now. Turn every time you need to, right? Come boldly before the throne of grace that you might, you know, receive grace in time of need, right? There's everything you need there, right? Would you start considering yourself forgiven and cleansed and righteous as of right now if you haven't already? Amen. I'm cleansed. I'm forgiven and I'm righteous. That's right. Remember, we can't work hard enough. We can't pray long enough. We can't fast enough. We can't read enough. We can't bind and loose enough or give enough money to ever make ourselves acceptable to God. That's why grace is called a better covenant than the old covenant. We have a better covenant, the Bible says. That's why it's called a better covenant. It's a covenant based on his blood and what he did, not on what you and I could do. It's on what he did, not us. And just as you are, you know, he's received you just like you are, right? And he loved you. Receive that grace, you know, already given to you. And it will free you up. And yeah, if the Son shall set you free, what? You should be free indeed. Amen? Amen. Okay, so under the old covenant, we got to do all those things, and no one could ever do them all. Now under grace, what do? We just receive by faith. We believe and we walk in what we have, you know, what we have by faith, receive a gift. Grace in Jesus is a gift, and a gift must be received to be had and partaken of. If you don't receive it, you won't have it. Even though you do have it, it's there for you. But if you don't receive it, see, we've all partaken of devils and of sin, but he offers us way more than that, doesn't he? Why would people reject Jesus? I don't understand. I guess I do, but yeah, partially anyway. But most have partaken of religion and good works and bad, but you know, he offers himself. He said, have me. Have you ever, you know, are you partaking of him right now? Are you partaking of him? He said, if you don't eat my body and drink my blood, you have not partaken of me. You have no part in me. And you know, most, you know, have a problem with that, okay? And most people, you know, they've heard a gospel of performance, and preachers every Sunday get in the pulpit and preach a gospel of performance, don't they? That's right, performance-based Christianity. You do this, you do this, you got all this sin, you're all messed up. You need to straighten that up, get down here at the altar, get right with God. Come on. You know, and we're saved by his life, not our life and our works and our performance. You know, people who have a religious spirit, they're driven by devils to perform more and more and more, and they never seem to make the grade, see? And when they don't perform well enough, they're tormented by guilt and condemnation, rejection. You know, these are all spirits as well, see, that drive you to performance, and religious spirits drive you to performance. And then when you don't perform good enough, well, these other spirits come in. You're not good enough. You know, look at all that's wrong with you still. You've lost your salvation. You know, there's so much wrong with you. Jesus doesn't have time for you. Blah, 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 blah. You know, you've all heard the lines of demons, okay? You've all seen the vain imaginations come in your mind. And Jesus said, you know, I come that you might have life, not law. Come on, what did he say in 2 Peter 1:3? We need to go back and read that again. We read it once. Let's remind ourselves. What did he come to do? 2 Peter 1:3, reading it again, according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Okay? He's given us his divine, you know, he's given us what? His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. See, it comes by revelation knowledge, and hopefully you're getting a revelation on the grace tonight. If you haven't already gotten it, you're getting a deeper one. And it says that we've been given life. And if you start fellowshipping and walking with that life, you know, I'm coming that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you start fellowshipping with that life daily, there's going to be a transformation. There will be deliverance. There will be change. We receive his life. Not through self-effort, but by the faith of God, that he is the author and finisher of our faith, right? See, that's part of grace, too. He's the author and finisher of our faith. You know, that's who Jesus is. That comes through grace, too. And live in and from this life, his powerful life. And devil fear a believer who lives that way, truly lives in his and from his life, okay? And yeah, how can we partake of his life and still be sitting at the table of devils? You know, a lot of Christians are doing that today. And we're going to start looking at some of the invisible here now. But, you know, grace and the invisible we're talking about. Can we just feed at the devil's table and then, you know, like it's no big deal and then go feed at God's table? Huh? Should we do that? Should we be feeding at the devil's table and then just go feed at God's table? A lot of Christians are doing that today. Something's wrong there with that picture, though. 1 Corinthians 10:21. Let's go over there and read that. It says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of a devil, of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Okay, so what are we doing here? This is a sad situation, and it's why so many believers are double-minded today and not hearing from God. It seems God is silent a lot to a lot of believers today. Could it be that they're eating at the devil's table and then also trying to eat at God's table? You know, you're opening doors to demons that remain, you know, open as long as you keep sitting at his table. I mean, you know, this has nothing to do with, you know, walking in the grace of God. This has something to do with you sitting at the table of devils and picking up more devils. No wonder certain demons have not left. Some people who are seeking deliverance because they have to leave and, you know, and let go of the devil's table, and they're not willing to do that. They, you know, not that the grace of God isn't available to you. Not that the deliverance is not available to you. But you have a choice. And you choose to sit at the table of the enemy. And how can God get you, you know, cleaned up and delivered if you want to sit at the table of the enemy? You know, you need to get up and walk away and spend your time at God's table and his alone. You know, a lot of believers in bed with the world, refusing to let go of their lust. You know, forgiving, refusing to let go of loving the world. So, oh yeah, you can look good on Sunday morning, but you know, how much of that is a religious spirit taking over, see? You know, let's give to God. you know, our full lives, okay? Not just hold back what we want. Who held back? You know, wasn't that the guy and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira, that hold him back and lying to the Holy Spirit, saying they give you all, I give you all, Lord, but then at the same time they're lying to him, trying to lie to the Holy Spirit. How do you lie to the Holy Spirit? What's wrong with somebody trying to do that? Holding on to Egypt in its many forms. A lot of Christians holding on to Egypt, the land of bondage, sin, refusing to let God work, person, and holding on to, you know, the ways that are from devils, the inhabitations of devils. You know, many Christians hold on to stuff which they shouldn't be holding on to. Yeah, that's why the Bible says he'll put you into the fires. Not the fires of hell, but the fires of, you know, to burn up the junk to clean you up. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Rebellion oftentimes is in many believers today, and refusing to allow themselves to be taught by the Lord and those whom God may use to speak into their lives. You know, refusing to allow themselves to be, you know, trained and taught, and refusing to deal with their ways of thinking that, and acting, that are not, you know, in alignment. And, you know, you can't change it on your own, but you can bring it to Jesus, see? You can get delivered from it. And you can have grace, right, to stand against this stuff and to get rid of this stuff, right? Having done all, stand, right? And so, and how do we stand? We stand in grace, right? That's what I read you from Romans a while ago, okay? So what are these secret areas, hidden areas in a lot of believers here that we're going to talk about here? Well, I want to talk about a major area here today, that there's a lot of hidden stuff. And even God woke me up one day and talked to me about that. And so I need to talk to you about it too. Okay. A lot of people say, well, that's just the way I am. You got an excuse for everything, right? Yeah, no, that's the way a demon is, that you have accepted as part of you. And many hold on to forms of unforgiveness, and it eats away on you like some barnacle does on a boat, right? The barnacles on the ship, if you don't scrape them off, they're going to just destroy the ship, right? They just destroy the wood, destroy the, yeah, and the parasites in people, if they don't deal with them, they're going to eat them up. And, well, anyway. There are many lies about unforgiveness that people buy into. How about the ones that Hollywood has presented to us? You know, the movies have painted an untrue, unreal picture of life. Somebody has to pay, right? To get even, revenge. If you make them pay, you'll feel better. But that's not true. But then they want you to think that. It's actually, it's a deep-seated belief inside the human psyche that, oh man, if I could just make them pay, I'll be better off. No, you won't. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, right? For they know not what they do. If the you know, the hollow satisfaction of making somebody pay for what they did or said to you really, if ever, erases real hurt or pain, I've never heard of it really doing it. Never have, okay? See, the Lord has shown me that day as I was getting up that there's still unforgiveness in many of God's people. And he was speaking to me that time about it and to share about it. And it's very serious to hold any form of unforgiveness. And there's many forms of unforgiveness, and many times you don't even recognize it. You know, people don't even recognize it's there because it's just, well, I don't have anything to do with them anymore. Well, that's because you haven't forgiven them. And some people you don't obviously need to have anything more to do with. I understand that because they have given themselves over to the enemy fully. And they will just wreak havoc if you go back into their lives again. So, no, you don't need to have anything to do with some people, but you need to forgive these people, right? Okay. So there are people that a subtle unforgiveness towards can remain in a Christian life. And to really go deeper in the river of God, all unforgiveness is going to have to be left on the shore So it's going to keep you back from God's full benefits, right? Because we know what it says about it in the Bible. We read about it, and we'll read that scripture if you want to in a minute. But Matthew 6:12, let's go over there. Matthew 6:12, it says here, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, that's what part of what the Lord's Prayer says, right? That's part of what people call the Lord's Prayer anyway. And so, you know, notice one is contingent on the other. Look at verse 14 and 15 here. And therefore, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Wow. That's kind of a strong thing there. And this is the hidden unseen stuff. The hidden unseen devils are in there because of the unforgiveness in a person's life. And most Christians would say they're not revengeful. They're not designed to make anybody pay for an offense or a hurt. And yet many of these same Christians who say that, they practice a subtle form of revenge, whether they realize it or not. Like they avoid certain brothers and sisters. They refuse to bless certain ones. They refuse to pray for certain ones when they have opportunity. They speak evil behind their back about certain ones. They put them down. And, you know, if I see you after church, you know, they say, well, I'll find an easier to speak to somebody else rather than speak to you, right? I'll withhold my love from this person, right? See, people do that. See, revenge is the act of retaliating by inflicting pain, hurt, or loss to someone you believe has inflicted pain, hurt, or loss on you, right? And there are people that have inflicted that on you, and you still have an ill feeling toward them if you think about them. Then there's probably some unforgiveness there if you're still having an ill feeling there when you think about that person. Yeah, okay. I know. It's a little tough, but, hey, we need it. We need to deal with unforgiveness. Okay, otherwise, it's going to deal with us. It's going to be a continual open door where demons can come and go as they will. Okay? All right. Yeah, they've ignored some people and some things for so long they can almost forget the original reason they had ought against them. You may even convince yourself that you have forgiven that person when you really have not really forgiven that person. Okay? How do you know if you've forgiven them? Well, if you have any kind of flashback thoughts about them or negative feelings toward that person of what they did or said to you when you see or think of them, yeah, that's one way. That's one way. Let's look at Colossians 3:13. We'll get just a little convicted here because, you know, the Holy Spirit does convict us to bring about change by the grace of God. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Talking about the brothers and sisters here. Talking to brothers and sisters, not the world. Forbearing one another, believers, forgiving one another, believer, and forgiving one another, believer, forbearing and forgiving. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. Right? That's the bond of perfectness. Put on love. Put on love. Put on love. If you can't say, I love them, then it could be that you have ought against them. Right? See, there may be, you know, some old strongholds hidden away to hide unforgiveness from way back in your childhood. And you think you're okay, but you're still bound up inside with some form of unforgiveness. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean you're not on your way to heaven because you don't know that you have this. Demons are there, okay, because of it. And see, forgiving and being forgiven are very closely intertwined and can't be separated according to the Word of God. And God has given each of us, you know, the God-given ability to forgive. That's right. He's given you the God-given ability to forgive. Do you believe that about yourself? You need to. God's given you grace to forgive. Whether you walk in that kind of grace or not is up to you. Because I know that he's given a lot of grace, but see, people don't walk in all the grace that he's given. People may only walk under a little portion of the grace that he's given. they may not walk under the fullness of the grace that he's given, and that's the sad thing, because it's available there for all things, to deal with all things in our lives. And he has grace given for everything that we will face on planet Earth. And if you've been forgiven, then you're capable of forgiving. You got to remember that. Have you been forgiven? Did God forgive you? Then you're capable of forgiving through grace. Not in your own ability, of course not. But through grace, you are. See, if you have a problem believing that God has really forgiven you or could forgive you, then you probably have a problem forgiving others. That's another thought on the matter, too. See, if you have a problem believing God's really forgiven you, then, or even could forgive you, then you probably have a problem, you know, forgiving other people. See, that's a good checkup for yourself, see. And, you know, many have built strongholds with demons involved. They're building them around their wounds, okay? And everybody's been wounded, right? We know that. We've all been wounded. But what are we doing with the wound? Are we letting it fester, or are we letting it be healed? You know? A lot of people, they bitterly defend their right not to forgive. It was at that pastor's husband. It was a female pastor, supposedly female pastor of this big United Methodist church, and a man murdered his wife and stole the car and killed her. And he said, "I'll never forgive you." Well, then I say, can you really be a Christian? He said, "I'll never forgive you." How can you say that in court? He said, "I'll never forgive you for killing my wife." Well, I got to say, are you truly born again? Do you even know what grace is? Hey, it's dangerous not to forgive. We could be turned over to the tormentors, as it says in Matthew 18, 34 and 35, which we could go read it. I don't want to be turned over to tormentors. Do you want to be turned over to tormentors? Yeah, this is something that's pretty serious. That's why. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So we've had grace and we've been forgiven, so we also have grace to forgive others, right? Amen. That's a tough one. I know it is, but hey, I've had to forgive some people. Tormentors. One who sees and vexes with grievous pains of body or mind. That's the meaning of that word. One who tosses and vexes with grievous pains of body or mind. And they have other names as well, such as, you know, fear, depression, anxiety, disease, mental illness, poverty, nervousness, to list a few. Okay? These are tormentors. And the stronghold of unforgiveness can, you know, block mercy and grace from an unforgiving person, even though it's all there for them to receive. You know, peace would be missing. Divine healing can be blocked. It's a fact, according to the medical profession, that some diseases are caused from chronic poisons released into the body by unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, resentment, frustration, fear, and anxiety. Really, if you give place to these demons, they can loose diseases into a person's life. So there's nothing that can replace forgiveness, folks. You can give money, you can pray, you can fast, you can weep, you can repent of sin till you're blue in the face and still block forgiveness by holding unforgiveness, right? That's why, you know, you got to forgive. You know? You got to forgive. That's just part of the Christian life. That's part of grace, is the ability to forgive. Unbelievers don't forgive. You know, they believe in an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And, you know, if somebody takes out their eye, they'll take out the other person's eye. You know, if somebody hurts them, they'll hurt them. If somebody kills somebody, they'll kill them. I mean, that's what the way that they think. And they will spend their whole life being unforgiving and trying to bring vengeance upon these people. But, you know, grace itself was on the cross. The giver of grace himself was on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." You know, what kind of, that's grace. He did that. Okay? Forgiveness is a deliberate act of your will. Forgiveness is a full pardon. It's an act of mercy. It's an act of love. It's an act of, bringing freedom to your own life as well as losing that other person. See? Forgiveness is the key to freedom for them, too. And we've all heard, forget it, it's been forgotten. Yeah, but forgiveness is not forgetting a wrong. See, you forget the hurt only after you forgive the hurt. See, you forget the pain only after you forgive the pain. Right? I know. Yeah, it's kind of tough, but it's true. You know, if you try to forget it without forgiveness, it can have a toxic drip of bitterness into your soul until it causes something really ugly to surface later in your body or mind. Your soul is the mind, will, and emotion, by the way, or your actions. Yeah, that's right. Remember what it says in Matthew 18 here, in verses 21 and 22. I'd like to read those. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. It says here, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till 7 times 7? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Oh, that's kind of amazing, isn't it? See, that's only possible through the grace of God. You can't do that on your own. That's not natural to the flesh. The flesh wants to get even. The flesh wants somebody to pay. You hurt me, you pay. You know? That's the way of the flesh. That's the way of Adam, the Adamic nature. That's the way of Adam. That's what Adam wants somebody to pay. And you'll have to, keep paying forever. For a lot of people, because that spirit is never satisfied. Once you go over to unforgiveness and bitterness, you can't satisfy that spirit. A lot of forgiveness today is simply empty words. People are very casual about saying, sure, I forgive you. When actually inside they still have something there against you. And they bear you ill will or have judgment towards you. And when they're around other people, they may talk bad about this person. They say, oh, sure, I forgive you. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't take it lightly when I forgive people because you seriously need to forgive them. Okay. And the one who asks forgiveness and the one who says he forgives both know that neither is being truthful sometimes. That's a sad condition, when they both know that they're lying. But the verbal social games and masks are played out and used anyway, right? People put on masks all the time. You go to church, you're going to see a lot of masks. You're going to see a lot of things that are invisible to the naked eye. But if you have discernment of spirits, you can pick it up. Yeah. The hidden invisible things of people's lives. Yeah. True forgiveness says we will pay the price for the other's act. See, Jesus held no secret grudges, no silent rage, no quitting of love or giving, no holding back on his part. No, he still died on the cross for everybody who sinned against him. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Remember, he said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, real forgiveness denies our carnal nature any right to cry out for pity. How many times do we cry out for pity because we've been done wrong? We have ought against somebody. We've been mistreated. We've been hurt. We've been, abused. To blame, our carnal nature, it wants to blame others. It wants to protect our hurt. They want to pet it and stroke it and pack it around for everybody to see and talk about to others. And, misery loves company, right? Forgiveness denies us the right to keep telling our pitiful story to gain pity or comfort from our hurts. And how many times have we told our pitiful story to try to get somebody to have compassion on us or to side with us in our misery about a situation or somebody that hurt us or did us wrong? See, if you can't extend forgiveness to others, then you're a prisoner of your own strongholds. See, if you won't, that is, because you could do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's the only way you can do it. But see, if you won't, I should say, instead of cannot, because you can do all things through Christ. So if you won't extend forgiveness to others, then you're a prisoner of your own stronghold, see, of your own bondage that you're allowing to be there. And you're bound by pain, unforgiveness, and destructive patterns of thinking. And the world says, you're entitled to your hurts. Yeah, look what happened to you. Let us help you get even, right? That's the world. That's the devil and demons. That's what they want to do. That, oh, yeah, we'll help you get even. Yeah, we want to take care of that for you. We'll help you to hold unforgiveness. We'll help you take revenge, right? 4:32 of Ephesians. What does the Bible say? Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Well, remember, who forgave you? God forgave you. What are we to do? Forgive one another. Oh, boy. Who needs to forgive and release somebody tonight? When you forgive, then you release it for good. Okay? Ask God through his grace to empower you now. See, grace is there. And there is grace to forgive, just as there is grace for all of God's treasures and truths. And this is one of God's truths, that if we don't forgive our brothers and sisters, then look out. And I realize that not everybody that we have to forgive is our brother and sister. Who are the people that crucified Christ on the cross? Not all of them were his brothers and sisters, but he said, Father, forgive them, but they don't know what they're doing. Yeah. So receive grace to forgive today. I know you may not want to forgive. You may not feel like you want to give that gift of forgiveness to the people that done you wrong. And that's understandable. Because a lot of people have done some horrible things in this world to all of us. God gave you great grace. Do you not take that grace and release it to others as well? Or do you get to pick and choose who you're going to release that grace towards? I'm withholding from you because you hurt me so bad. I want you to suffer. I want you to be punished. You abused me. You rejected me. You took something from me. You made me look foolish. You embarrassed me. Yeah, Bible says something that vengeance is mine. I will repay. Doesn't it say something like that? You remember that scripture? Vengeance is mine. I will repay. You're not the one to dish out the payment. Okay? You're not the one. You may want to be the one. I mean, if somebody came and you had two little daughters and they come and raped your little daughters, abused your children, you'd want to kill them, right? In the natural, you might kill them. I mean, horrible thing that they've done. So what does God say? He said, I'm going to pay them back for what they did. Vengeance is mine. If they don't receive my grace, they're going to pay. Right? Yeah. If we're, you know, are we all about me or are we all about Jesus? Remember who you are and what you are, see? Because you get into these areas, you start thinking you have rights, you know, because of what happened to you. You have rights. Oh, really? Thought you gave all that up when you came to Jesus. If we're all about me, then Adam has not died. And demons are ruling within us. And there are barnacles on you eating away. Parasitic devils consuming your life. You need to shut the door, scrape the barnacles off and out of you. Have a parasite cleanse, right? You ever done a parasite cleanse? When one has parasites within, it takes some powerful substances to remove them, such as the herbs, these strong herbs that, such as wormwood, black walnut, blue vervain, olive leaf extract, garlic, grapefruit seed extract, and the person's got to be aggressive for 6 to 12 weeks to get them all killed, and the babies killed too, the eggs and things. Hell, you got to be aggressive, and there's some stronger herbs than this that I won't even mention because they're really too powerful. But, you know, we got some strong sickness when we're holding out against somebody. We've been hurt so bad and angry and hurt and sharing bitterness around and unforgiveness. We need some strong, aggressive tactics here with the demonic barnacles and parasites as well, see? Because they're parasites. They feed on flesh. Barnacles that feed on flesh. We need to shut some doors, change some thinking, some stinking, demonically rooted thinking. That stuff has to go. We need to take strong medicine action against them, right? As we do against all demons. I mean, why do we put up with them so much? Why do we just let them get away with, you know, literally get away with all kinds of things, murder, you know? All kinds of things that they get away with, these demons. Cast down and out those vain imaginations, too, that are in your mind. Because, I mean, no. Yeah, the Bible says cast those vain imaginations, casting down vain imagination. Well, if they're vain imagination, where did they come from? They didn't come from Jesus because Jesus is not vain, right? If they're vain imaginations, they come from the enemy, the devil, and you entertaining them and your own thoughts getting in alignment with them. And you know what an imagination is, right? It's an image. It's a picture. We think in pictures, right? Isn't that what you think in? People really think in pictures. You know, if you have a conversation with somebody, you're usually seeing a lot of pictures in your mind. When they say different things, you see a picture. If I say a blue car, you see a blue car. If I say a blue Corvette Stingray, you see a blue Corvette Stingray. You picture in your mind, see? And these vain imaginations are pictures that the enemy places in your mind. Pictures of different wicked things. And then he tries to make them look innocent and not so wicked in a lot of cases too, but their imagination. And if you entertain those imaginations, their vain imaginations, that is, then those images of vainness from the enemy, what's that going to do in your life? See? Really? Demons have placed pictures in your mind to control and manipulate you and get you in a position of bondage to them. Invisible, hidden, but nevertheless, they're there, all still there, all the same, right? Still there. Invisible manipulation going on. Invisible vain imagination going on in the mind. You could be having a conversation with somebody and you have invisible vain imaginations going on the whole time. You could be trying to pray, read your Bible, and vain imaginations going on in your mind while you're trying to read your Bible. See, the devil resists you reading your Bible. How many know that? He doesn't want you to read your Bible. And so all kinds of distraction come to the mind. Oh, you need to go get something off your table or someone off your dresser or whatever. You know, you call so-and-so. You need to go do this. You don't have time for this right now. And you put the Bible down, and before long, you quit reading, and you've gone on to something else. See? These imaginations, these pictures suddenly come into your mind while you read the Bible. Oh, yeah, I need to do that. I need to take care of that. Oh, yeah. And you start getting distracted, see? Devil doesn't want you reading the Bible. You know that, right? He doesn't want you praying for an hour or praying in tongues for 10 minutes or, an hour or whatever, he doesn't want you doing that. So he gives you distractions in the mind, vain imagination, pictures, things to get you off track. See? And see, the problem with a lot of this, too, is people have pictures of the wrong things that they dwell on, negative expectation pictures. And they're, by dwelling on them all the time and not casting those things down, they're giving demons the ability to bring those things to pass in their life because they're focusing on the vain image that doesn't line up with the Word of God at all. See? That's right. And those images can become idols to some people because they dwell on these images all the time if they get hooked on it. You know, if they get hooked by it, I should say. The devil dropped a hook and you bit and you got yourself hooked on it. You know, that vain imagination, and you keep seeing a picture. You know, some people start seeing themselves, you know, poor or not having enough money to make the bills, and they start seeing that picture all the time. And is that what God's word says? Does God say you don't have enough money to make your bill? Does God say he's not going to provide all your needs according to his riches and glory? Does God say that he wants you in a poor house having nothing so that you can't even have food on your table? No, the Bible says the righteous, feed of the righteous, not be begging bread. He said he's going to provide more than enough. He said that. He's the God of more than enough, right? Come that you might have life, not death. He didn't say, I've come that you might have death and have it more abundantly. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But you're going to have to die to those imaginations. You're going to have to die to Adam. Adam wants to live, you know, the Adamic nature, the flesh. It wants to rise up and live in you strong, see, in those invisible realms. That, see, only you know about what goes on in your mind. Nobody else can read your mind, okay? God can. And the devil, you know, he has some ideas about, you know, the mind of what's going on there, because he's putting a lot of the stuff that's been in your mind there, see? But he can't get in your spirit, see? He can't know what you're doing in your spirit and what you're thinking from your spirit. But the mind, he can, you know, read a lot of that, because it's real simple for him, because he's been working in your mind all your life since the day you were born, or even in your womb of your mama. Yeah, the womb of your mama, right? He's worked stuff into your life. He's picked, you know, brought in the spirits of rejection from the womb or some other rejection spirit or some other generational familiar family line spirit even while you were in the womb that you carried all your life until you got rid of it, if you have gotten rid of it yet. But so, yeah, you got to think about the pictures in your mind. What are you putting before your mind all the time? What do you keep seeing over and over again? Where did that come from? Where did you get that kind of picture from? Give me the chapter and verse for that. You get you don't have one. Well, then maybe it didn't come from Jesus. You ever think about that? All right. I understand that, yeah, you don't be around those who hurt you and sinned against you. I understand that. You don't hang out with those that are bad influences. The Bible also says bad companions ruin good character. Actually, that's what it says. The King James words it a little different, but that's basically what it's saying. So you hang around with certain people, they're going to ruin, you know, godly characters. You're going to ruin, you know, one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch, right? So you don't hang out with those who are damaging you to you. You have to forgive them, but you don't have to hang out with them. You don't have to move in with them. You don't have to be a part of their lives, right? You just have to let go and forgive, especially if they're not brothers and sisters in the Lord. And even some brothers and sisters, I sure wouldn't want living with me. There's some brothers and sisters that have hurt us deeply and done what damage they could, you know. And they were empowered by demons and surely don't want to live with that. I've forgiven them. I don't even think about it anymore. But, you know, you can remember the things if you try to remember, but it doesn't have the pain that it did before you forgive them. Right? Amen. It shouldn't, anyway, if you've really let it go. But, yeah, we remember, we know what happened. Oh, how good it would be, oh, to have sex with that person. Oh, I just want to be rich like so-and-so. And you start getting these pictures, these imaginations, they're vain imagination. Okay? They place these pictures in your mind to manipulate you. Oh, that person has to pay. We're going to make them pay. You have pictures of them pain and suffering. You have pictures of them pain and suffering for what they did to you. Who put that there? Did Jesus put that there? What does the Bible say about, oh, I just want to be rich like so-and-so? Did Jesus put that there? No, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Isn't that what he said? All these other things that the rich seek after and people seek after, they'll be added. So who put that picture there? Huh? There's something about desiring to be rich. It's not a good thing, right? If you make that your goal, to be rich, then you've got the wrong goal. Your goal should be to seek first the kingdom of God. And if he makes you rich, he makes you have earthly riches that you could bless others with and whatever, then so be it. But that's not your primary goal, you know. He wants to control your mind, to manipulate you and control you. Yeah. Pictures, images in the mind lead to bondages with devils in control. That is the direction it's going. Yeah, you may think that you're in control, but it's often devils when you yield to those imaginations and those vain images. And cause you to, you know, sit at the devil's table. If you're yielding to those imaginations, those vain imaginations, vain images, those vain pictures that you see in your mind, that could cause you to sit at the devil's table and partake of, you know, if you don't say, no, devil, no image, no picture, no thought, no, I reject you. I cast him down. I cast you out in Jesus' name. See? Don't hold on to what the devil tries to serve you. You know, that's right. Let life and God and grace serve you. That's right. You stay at the Lord's table. Stay at the Lord's table. You eat his body and you drink his blood and you keep on doing that. You know, those whose mind is stayed on ye, right, that we want to stay our mind on him. And we know that perfect love casts out fear. You know, a lot of these vain imaginations have fear with it. We need to keep ourselves on perfect love. Jesus is perfect love. We need to meditate on the Word, meditate on him day and night. We need to keep our focus in the right place. We need to continue to walk in that grace and truth, right? There's dangerous places that Christians go in this life. I tell you, I've seen them in dangerous places, and I've seen them fall into dangerous traps, and I've seen some walk away from the faith. You know, over these many years of ministry, I've seen all kinds of things take place. I've seen people change too and go into the grace of God when they were religious before. But it's hard to get a religious person many times to step out of that religion into grace. In fact, the people that really persecute the real grace message are religious people controlled by devils. Because they want to keep on having to feel bad about themselves. They want to continue to feel condemnation. They want to continue to feel like they have to earn their way to God and keep on working hard for Jesus and trying harder all the time. And that just leads to a life of frustration and misery, though. I can't try harder. I'm going to try harder. Adam is going to take over and try harder, really? You know, Adam needs to die. Not take over and try harder. Religion, you know, I don't want religion. I want Jesus. I want to eat from the tree of life. I don't need more religion. I don't need a religious spirit clinging to me. You know, we don't need those things. See? So, you know, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. So we don't have to go that route. We don't have to get into bondage to those things. You know, you got to forgive yourself too. I mean, I better mention that before, you know, I close here. Because sometimes people do things that they really have a hard time releasing what they've done to God. I know. There were years that something bothered me from my past life before I became a Christian. And because, you know, I did some things that weren't very nice to some people and mistreated people and I was no angel before Christ, like most, some people think they were, that they have a religious spirit, and then they got born again, and they still kept their religious spirit. They say, well, I wasn't a bad person. Well, no, you need to see yourself, you know. You need to see yourself that all of us were born into sin, every one of us, right? But anyway, I had to, you know, release that to God and say, yeah, well, I forgive myself for that. I release myself from the bondage of that. I'm not going to let the devil torment me with that, the path before Christ. I mean, I wasn't even a Christian. What do you expect a non-Christian to do? That's all they know how to do is sin, right? So really, you know, why do we so harsh on an unbeliever when they're doing all these bad things? Well, that's what they do. Sinners sin. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a saint. I've been born again. Yeah, I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the dear son. That's what you have too, right? So we don't have that sin dominant nature, really. We have the Holy Spirit and the new creation that we should be living from. Otherwise, the old nature can rise up if you, you know, it can't get in your spirit, but it can rise up in the soul, in the mind, and the flesh. Paul said in my flesh dwells no good thing. So it's very possible that, you know, a Christian could let the Adamic nature rule his life, even though they're born again and a new creature in Christ in their spirit. But see, we're three parts, and so he has a choice, or she has a choice to live how they choose. But, you know, I choose Jesus. What about you? Well, who do you choose? Do you choose Adam or do you choose Christ? I choose Christ. So Christ can come forth in me. More of Christ, less of Adam. Adam must die, right? Adam doesn't get to be the king anymore. It's King Jesus on the throne, not old King Adam. You know, the flesh wants to rise up and rule all the time still. He tries to rise up and rule in your life. I'm not going to forgive them. They don't deserve forgiveness. That's Adam rising up, see? Don't let Adam sit on the throne. You got to forgive yourself. You got to let go of the stuff you did to yourself that got you in the messes and hurt you and hurt others and whatever. Jesus forgives you. Why are you holding out against you? You know, you just forgive yourself and begin loving yourself. And who do you love? You love Adam? No, I don't love Adam. I love the new creation, the one that God created in me. That's who we love. We don't love the old creation. We're to hate evil, right? And the old Adamic nature is in agreement with evil. It's in agreement with the flesh. I mean, it's in agreement with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It would gladly live from that tree rather than from Christ, the tree of life. It would rather do that. And Adam can be real good and look real religious and look real Christian from the tree of knowledge of the good and evil. The good, doing the good, you know. I'm doing good. Look at me. Look what I've done. All these good things. But it's still not the tree of life, and it still won't produce life in you. It's still not grace and truth. It's not. Jesus brought grace and truth. If you don't eat from the tree of life, you're living in grace and truth, right? It's that simple. You know, gospel's not complicated. You know, love is not as complicated as you think. God loves you. And when you start receiving that love, you start getting a revelation of that love. And that love will it will transform you when you realize how much you're loved, and it'll take you to a place that will keep you from that performance-based Christianity. Yeah. And you can begin to really rest, enter into his rest. I mean, hard to rest when you're on that performance-based merry-go-round, never ending, never going anywhere, but seems like you are, but, you know, you're not getting anywhere. You know, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's a lot of that is performance-based Christianity. People are ever learning, but they're not really going into the grace and truth that came through Jesus. They're just trying to, you know, kind of spinning around and around and around and going nowhere, because that's exactly what, you know, the religious spirit will let you do all kind of religious things and let you, you know, try to look real godly and all that stuff, but it's just it's just religion. It's just performance. You know, God said something about that. I'm tired of your sacrifices. I'm tired of this. It's, you know, it's not from your spirit. It's just religion, you know. And he said, away from me with that, you know? Away with that stuff, he said, in the Word. Anyway, I'm going to stop here so we have some time for some prayer here. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for the grace of God, Lord, for empowering us to forgive those who have wronged us. And right now, if someone's wronged you, go ahead and let God empower you to forgive them and just say, I truly forgive you as an act of my will by the grace of God for whatever blank, blank, blank. I truly choose to right now forgive you by the grace of God as an act of my will. I forgive you for blank, blank, whatever. Yeah? Yeah, and you may need to say it a few times before you really have meant it from your spirit, you know. Really mean it. And you say it from your spirit and from the mind, the soul. Yeah. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for granting people grace to do that and release this stuff so they can be delivered from it. And any of the demons that have come in through it, they can be delivered from all of it in Jesus' name because they chose as an act of their will to forgive and an act of grace. And from the grace of God, by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you for empowering people to forgive by your grace and the every good and perfect gift that came down from above. We're empowered by the gift, the gift that came down from above. We're empowered with forgiveness and act like our Savior did. He forgave them who crucified him, who betrayed him. Yes. But though Judas couldn't forgive him, couldn't receive forgiveness, he went and killed himself. He tried to bear his own sin. Oh, and that don't work. You see the end of that. He couldn't bear his own sin. So, Father, we thank you that you bore our sins for us, and we receive that, and we are forgiven, and we are washed in the blood right now, and we will walk with you all the days of our life on planet Earth till we go be with you forever and come and rule and reign on Earth for 1,000 years with you. Well, you will never leave us nor forsake us. Even now you don't leave us or forsake us, but you're not going to leave us or forsake us in eternity either. What a joy to know that. What a joy to know we've been forgiven, so we forgive. We forgive. Thank you. Thank you for the grace to keep on doing that all the days of our lives, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your empowerment, your anointing, your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You might just need to say, Father, forgive me for holding out against so-and-so, as I've held it. Yeah, if you've held it, ask him to forgive you for holding it. And then just declare that you forgive them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, remember, he died for us so that we could have life and we could live his life. And so we'll be back in a few minutes. Used to love me.
when I'm dying. You gave your life for me. I don't know why you kept loving me. Now I know how much you love me, because you died for me.
Jesus. All right. So let's deal with some things here tonight as we go into this deliverance time. We're going to deal with some things that hinder us in our lives, and they could be there and invisible things that below the surface that we don't always know what's there. That's just a fact. We command any self-destruct spirit. Self-destructive spirit, try to cause you to be self-destructive to yourself, to you, to come out right now. We break the curse of that self-destruct spirit. Come out right now. Go, come out of there, all the way out, up and out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Come out now. All the way up out of there. Go. Go all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus against that self-destructive spirit. You want to punish yourself, self-punishment. Come out. Gotta go. Up out of there, go in the name of Jesus. Come out, that self-destructive spirit. Sometimes it's make the spirit that thinks you got to pay for your mess-ups and your sins. So I got to pay, I got to be punished, all the way out, in Jesus' name, all the way up out of there, that self-punishment, come out, so I deserve it, come out, you think you deserve it, come out, all the way up out of there, go, come out of there, in Jesus' name, come out, all the way up out of there, that self-punishment, come on. Self-abuse, self-punishment, you know, all the way out of there. You got to go all the way up out of there. In Jesus' name, religion really likes to make you pay. You know, they want you to pay because they mock Jesus because he paid already. He bore the punishment. He bore your punishment. But when demons can make you start trying to pay for your own sin by self-punishment and, you know, all that stuff that they try to do to beat you down with your sin, well, then, you know, they're mocking God. Yeah, they're rejecting, trying to cause you to reject his sacrifice, what he did on the cross for taking your punishment for you. When you punish yourself, what are you doing? He's already done it. So don't fall for that trick of the devil. Come out of there all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way in Jesus' name. Come out. All that self-punishment, self-torture, all the way out. Self-chastisement, beating yourself up. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. All that religion, religious spirits, go. Come against those religious spirits. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. We break the curse of the religious spirits, any inherited religious spirits. Try to stay with us. Come out. You got to go. All the way out. We renounce you. We reject you in the name of Jesus. You have to loose the people. Let them go. All the way up out of there. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Go. Keep coming out, 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 out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Religious spirits, we're talking to you. Come out of there. All those religious spirits, go. All those denominational spirits, denominational control, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way up out of there. Come out. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus. Well, that denominational pride, you know, got to go all the way out, come out, come out. Most all denominations think they're the right denomination, that everybody ought to join their denomination. It really, that's invisible, but it's there. That's something that's not so invisible on, but keep coming out of there all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. So go, 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 come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way up out of there. Gotta go in the name of Jesus. Keep going, self-pity, come out. Come out, self-pity. Come out of there, all self-pity, gotta go right now. All that hurt, all that pain, wallowing in the pain, come out. That spirit of wallowing in the pain, come out, come out, come out. Wallowing in misery, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Wallowing in misery, come out, all the way out. All the hurt, the pain, the abuse, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, come out in Jesus' name. All the way, all that wallowing in misery, self-pity, come out. All the way out, all those wallowing spirits, you got to go. In the name of Jesus, right now, loose them. Let them go. All the way out, all the way up out of there. Go, 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 move, 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 move. Keep moving out, up and out, up and out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way. In Jesus' name, blood of Jesus, you got to go. Go, go, go. All that hurt, all that abuse spirit, being abused, or abused in a marriage, abused in a family situation, go, go. I pray for those that are being abused right now. I know of some that are abusing, mistreating their children. And I'll pray for them, Lord, that you would, Lord, that you would bring deliverance and freedom in that area, Lord. They're too hard. They're too this, that, or the other. It's hard, you know, when the enemy wants to divide a house. He wants to turn the children against the parents against the children. So you got to be on guard against that. The enemy's after children and after parents. Try to divide a house. Keep coming out of there. All the way out. Come out. All that abuse. Go, 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 go. All types of abuse. Mental abuse. Physical abuse. All abuse. Gotta go. Got to go right now. Move in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Keep coming out. All the anger, the madness, come out. Been angry all the time, come out. Come out. All the way up out of there. All the way up out of there. Come out. All that anger, that be mad, come out. The mad spirit, come out. Be mad. Mad all the time, spirit, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Walk around mad and angry. Come out. Come out. All the way up out of there. All the way up out of there. Got to go in the name of Jesus. What's that going to do for you? Come on. If you hold on to that, what's it going to do for you? How's it going to build you up in your most holy faith? How's it going to make you a better Christian staying mad and angry all the time? Come out of there. Go. Go, 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 go. Critical all the time. Come out. 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 Come up out of there. All the way. All the way. Go, 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 go. Go. All that spirit of vengeance, wanting to take vengeance. Come out. 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 Vengeance spirit. Go, 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 go. Go. All hatred. Hatred for so-and-so. Hey, well, I just, you know I'm not supposed to hate anybody, but boy, if I, blah, blah, blah. You come out of there. All that hatred. Come out. Come on. All that hatred. The Bible says to hate evil, but you don't hate people. Come out in Jesus' name. If Jesus loves the world, for God to love the world, he gave his own son. Right. Yeah. He loved the world. He wants them saved. He doesn't hate them. Come out, 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 come out. Yes, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out. Hatred, come out. Come out, 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 come out. It's easy to have hatred for other races, too, because, you know, some of these, some people have done evil things to other races, and therefore, people could develop a spirit of prejudice. They could pick up a spirit of prejudice toward the race. That I've met people like that that have been done wrong by a particular race, and therefore they picked up a spirit toward that race because of one person in that race that did them wrong. And that mistreated them, hurt them, beat them up, whatever. You got to go right now. Prejudice toward a particular race, come out. Or toward any race that's not your race, come out. All that prejudice, go, 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 go. Some people are beat down because of their race, because demons beat them down that way. And we can deal with that one too. Come out of there, all the way out, go. All the way up out of there, all that prejudice spirit, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Prejudice spirit, come out in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way up out of there, the name of Jesus right now, all that prejudice spirit, I bind you, I bind you, I bind you, I bind you, you go, all the way out, come 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 out, all the way out, all those spirits that beat people down because of their race, whatever the race may be. Yeah, right now the devil is trying to beat white people down. If you're a white person, he'll beat you down because everybody hates the white people. That's what they're trying to say anyway. Come out of there. Even white people hating white people, beating themselves down. Isn't that's crazy. Come out of there. All the way out. Go, go, go. Of course, the demons are crazy to think that they could win against God. They're crazy. Come out. All the way out. Come 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 out. All the way. Beaten down because of your race. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Whatever that color may be. Come out. All the way out. All the way, all those spirits that beat people down over their race. Well, I wish I was this color. If you say that, then the enemy's beating you down because of your race. Come out of there, all the way out. If you're saying that I wish I was black, or I wish I was white, or I wish I was brown, or I wish I was, yellow, whatever, red. Come out, 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 all the way out. Giving you vain imaginations about your race. Come out. All the way out. Come 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 out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and loose them and let them go. Out in Jesus' name. All the way out. Take a few coughs. Get them going. All the way out of there. Up and out of there. Up and out of there. Unforgiveness spirits, you come out. Unforgiveness spirits, come out, come out. Unforgiving spirit, come out, come out. If you've ever said, I'll never forgive you, demons have come in. But we command those spirits that came in when you said, I'll never forgive so-and-so. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Come on, all that unforgiveness, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out all the way, all the way, all the way, all the way, up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out. In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus against you, demons. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Unforgiveness, unforgiveness. You got to go, got to go all the way out, all the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Go all the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus right now. Come on. All the way out. Hard-heartedness. Come out. You hard-hearted spirit. Come out. Bitterness too. Come out. 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 Come out of it in Jesus' name, all the way out. All that burnout spirit, you come out too. Come out, come out. Feeling burned out. They just try to wear you out. The Bible try to wear out the saints is what the devil is going to do in the last days. That's what the Bible says the devil's going to try to do. Wear out the saints, or the saints can be bold and do exploits. You choose you this day which one you want to be and start picturing that in your mind. Start picturing yourself being strong and doing exploits. Not that you're worn out. Don't be taking that picture and receiving that picture from the devil. So burnout, you come out too. Burnout, come on, all the way out. All that burnout. So trying to be, the enemy trying to wear you out through circumstances and situations and people. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Burnout spirits, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. You just got to keep casting certain circumstances and situations on the Lord. You know, I had something this week I had to cast on the Lord. I just keep casting it until finally, you know, it was relieved. It was gone. It's, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you cast it on the Lord. You do it until you have relief. You do it until you're no longer bothered by it. You just keep casting it on the Lord until you truly have let go of that thing and it's no longer something that's, you know, going around and around in your mind and bothering you. Come out of there, all the way out. Go, go, go. We cast every care on you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we cast burnout. We cast every kind of care. Go, in Jesus' name. The care of loneliness, the care of fear. Come out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. All that has to go. Come on, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Keep going, all the way out. All the way out, all the way up out of there. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All that burnout, go, 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 go. Yes, we don't receive it. No, I'm not burnt out. That's not what I dealt with. But I was dealing with some other thing that I had was thinking about. The enemy wanted me to keep thinking about it. I said, no, I'm not going to keep thinking about it. I cast it on the Lord. He's going to take care of that situation. He's going to take care of that. See, you got to let him take care of your situation too, whatever they may be. See, God will take care of it. God will take care of it. Come out in Jesus' name. You got to let him, though. See, you worry about it, then he's not taking care of it. You are trying to take care of it by worrying and then giving place to the devil. See, by thinking about that over and over and over and over. Come out, 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 all the way out. Go, 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 go. Keep going. All the way out. All the way out. Gullible spirit. Some people are gullible. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, all that gullible spirit. Come out in Jesus' name. They're gullible where demons are concerned. Some people, they give, you know, all those demons, they let them do what they want to do. They're gullible. The demon tells them a lie. They believe it. Come out in the mind. You know, how many know that we've all done that at times? We've listened to the enemy. So you got to go, all that gullible spirit. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, we set our face like a flint against the enemy, and we set it toward the Lord. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Keep going, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, pray in tongues. That's good, brothers. Amen. Amen. Keep coming out of there, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Gullible spirit, go, 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 go. All the way out. Irresponsible spirit, you come out. Irresponsible, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Impotent spirit, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Double-mindedness, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Impulsive spirit, come out. Doing things by impulse and getting yourself into messes, come out. That impulsive spirit, come out, come out, come out, come out. We break the curse of that impulsiveness. Come out, come out, come out. Acting without thinking. You know, don't even think it over. You just act and do something that you regret doing because it was done on impulse. Well, who put that impulse there in the first place? We always need to check that out to see where this is coming from, where that picture came from in our mind, where that thought came from. Come out, all the way out. Go, 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 all the way. Come out. Come out, anxiety. Come out. Come out, anxiety. Come out, anxiety. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, in the name of Jesus. That spirit of sleepiness and tiredness, you come out. Come out. Spirit of sleepiness and tiredness, go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. Some of that double-mindedness comes from eating at the devil's table and the Lord's table. It's trying to do both. You know, some of that, where that some of that comes from there. Not all of it, no. Double-minded can come from just simply, you know, not believing. And then believing, not believing, then believing, not believing, you know, and just waving all, being tossed like a wave of the sea because you're just not stable in your steadfastness. You know, one minute you're steadfast, next minute you're going all over the place and you say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And next minute, oh, yeah, Jesus is going to take care of me. He's going to take care of this. You know, that's not a healthy situation either, right? But religious people could be very double-minded also because they're not stable, because they're not eating from the right tree. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil, so that's double-minded. A double-minded tree will make a double-minded person if you eat from that tree, right? So anyway, that's enough of that. I guess we're going to pray here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Out, 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 all the way out, go. Go, 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 move, 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 move. Keep moving, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, go, 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 go. Get out of there, move, all that double-mindedness, go, go, go. Come out, 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 up and out, all double-minded spirit. Loose the people, let them go. Loose the people, let them go in Jesus' name. All the way up out of there. All the way up out of there. As we close tonight, you got to go. All the way out. We're talking to you, devil. Go, go, go. Move, move, move. All the way out. All the way out. Up and out, 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 up and out of there. All the way up and out. Thank you, Jesus, for this deliverance tonight. Thank you for sealing this deliverance to the people who have received and those who will yet receive when they listen later on. We thank you for blessing the listeners, Father, ministering to them, those who have partaken of this live service here on the radio tonight. Lord, bless each and every one of them. And Lord, let their lives blossom with the fruit of the Spirit, Father, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in manifestation. We give you the glory for that. And Lord, we thank you for moving in our lives daily, Lord, and that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that you encourage us and strengthen us by your Spirit every day, Father. We receive your strength. We receive your power today. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Everybody say amen. All right, love you guys. Love y'all. Okay, and we will see you next Friday. Hallelujah. Lord be with you. Part of your body that's sick or hurting tonight, just put your hands there right now. We're going to pray for healing right now. Put your hand on your body wherever there's a problem. If there is a problem, if you're sick or if you have something wrong, if you have pain, right now, Father, we pray the prayer of faith. You say if the elders of a church lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, and if they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. So right now, we lay hands on the sick right now, wherever, you know, they're hurting. As they put their hand there, I'm putting my hand out to them in Jesus' name right now, and I'm laying hand on them as I can through this broadcast. Yeah, obviously, I'm not there physically, but there's no distance in the spirit. So I lay hands on them in the name of Jesus in the spirit right now, and I rebuke that pain. I rebuke that sickness. I rebuke that disease of any kind. I rebuke the cancer. I rebuke growth in the body. I rebuke any kind of thing that is wrong in the body that causing them physical issues and problems. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and I lay hands on them to be fully recover in the name of Jesus right now. Be healed, be whole, be healed, be whole right now. Body be healed, body be whole in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. The Bible said if you do lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Not might recover, not hopefully recover. No. In Jesus' name, you shall recover. You shall recover. Whatever that is right now, as you put your hand there right now and you touch that area of your body, we rebuke that in Jesus' name. Be healed right now. Be touched in that area right now. If Jesus touch them right now, I touch them in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's you, not me. It's the glory of God, not me. But as Lord, as we pray this prayer of faith, we believe that you are healed right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for health and healing. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Hallelujah. So five on board, three got out. Okay. It was a bombardier jet. A small twin-engine jet went down. I see the story. So that happened, I guess, in Naples, Florida, huh? Okay, well, thank God that some of them survived. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, pray that you take care of those who did get out and heal them. Minister to them and let them give you the glory that they lived. Yeah, those small jets. They don't hold a lot of people, some of them. They're like just executive jets. You know, we had a guy in our church that flew those little jets around the country at one time. He was in our church. And anyway, he flew those jets around the country. It's called fractional ownership. You know, people would pay to be able to fly that in that jet and have a pilot take them wherever they needed to go. And they would pay so much, you know, all the time, every month or whatever, so that they would have that jet at their disposal. This is for the rich people, I suppose, that have a lot of money to spend instead of just flying coach or something like on a jet, you know, a passenger plane. But anyway, that's what he did for a living. So he had some interesting stories to tell. And anyway, praise the Lord. All right, well, let's see. I guess that's all for tonight. Love y'all and hope that you have a blessed weekend. And next week will be blessed for you, and Lord will encourage you. Get in his presence and see what happens. That's all I could tell you. I know I get in his presence every morning. It's amazing what you have in grace. It's just amazing grace. And if you get in his presence, and of course his presence doesn't leave all day. I mean, you may get attacked sometimes, but the presence is still there. If you start your day in his presence, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's there with you when you go to bed. He's there with you when you get up. He's there with you while you're sleeping. Amen. We need the angels to watch over us while we sleep. But that's another story of how the enemy works in the night seasons on many people. And the demons that flitter around at night to attack where they can. So we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus and station the angels around our sleeping place, and we'll be okay. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Sweet dream. Dreams from heaven. Amen. Is it the old men have the dreams, the young men visions, or is it the young men have dreams, the old men visions? I think it's the young men have the vision, the old men have the dream. Anyway, your dream be from heaven, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, good night, folks. God bless.